I told you to turn to Revelation chapter 20. What I want you to do is, since you're there, if your Bible's like mine, flip back about a page to chapter 19 to verse 11. Chapter 19, verse 11. Look what happens. It says John is seeing this vision of the future, and here's what he saw. He said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And he comes and he judges, faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. If you skip down to verse 13, he is clothed with robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who is that, by the way? That's Jesus coming. Now, I want you to look at Revelation chapter 20, because that passage in 19 is Jesus coming to the earth to set up a kingdom. We believe that there's going to be a kingdom. Look at Revelation 20, look at verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus, because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they hadn't received the mark on their forehead or the hand, they came to Christ and did what? What did they do? They reigned with Christ for how long? There's a kingdom right there. Jesus is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. It goes on to say, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years completed. This is the first resurrection. Then notice verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in this first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. Now watch. They will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for what? 1,000 years. This is talking about us. We're going to be priests of God. We're going to reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. There is a kingdom coming one day. When you think of Old Testament, believers in the Old Testament did not think about going to heaven. Believers in the Old Testament looked forward to the kingdom in which the Messiah would rule in righteousness and justice. When we talk about dying, a lot of times people say, if you die, will you go to heaven? We're going to be in heaven for a short period of time, because we're going to be on this earth in this kingdom. We want to see how it fits. In fact, six times in six verses, John is told that the kingdom will last for 1,000 years. So as we think of end times, we want to know that the Bible teaches that one day we're going to all be with Jesus Christ. We who know Christ, we're going to be in a kingdom with him. We call this the millennial kingdom, because millennial means 1,000. It lasts 1,000 years. Jesus is the King of the Jews and the King of the world. So when does all this happen? Where are the events leading up to this? When the kingdom happens. And then what happens after the kingdom, after this 1,000-year reign? How does it all fit together? Well, this morning we're going to take a brief look at the end time events. We're going to be able to put it together and see how it fits. Now, two things this morning as we study end times, okay? Two things. One, we're going to look at why would we study it, the reason for studying end times, and then I want you to see the flow of the events, okay? The flow of the events. So let's talk about the reason for studying the end times. And actually, there's two. I mean, why should we do this? Let me tell you, there are a lot of people who say, first of all, here's what they say. You can't know the stuff. The Bible, none of this is literal anyway. And all those prophecies about a kingdom and a reign and a rule, and they're not literal anyway. And so you shouldn't even spend your time trying to put this together. And so one of these days, Jesus is going to come back, and that'll be the end of everything. And so why would you spend time doing this? So why would we study end times? Well, two reasons. Number one, comfort. When we look at it and we see God's plan and we see how it fits together and we see that what started off with the creation and a fall now comes back with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords ruling in righteousness and justice for all time. We see that Jesus Christ gains the victory. He is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb of God, the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. He will rule in righteousness. So it's comfort for every one of us in this room to know that one day Jesus Christ triumphs and rules forever. There's a second thing, and that is that we would teach others, that we would help other people understand it. There are a lot of people, you know, I talk to some people and they say, I'm just so afraid because, when that Antichrist comes and we're all running for our lives and we have to, whether we're going to take the mark of the beast. And I say, wait a minute. You know Christ your Savior? Yeah. You're not going to be in that. Oh, well, I might be. Well, no, we want to teach them truth from the Bible so they will understand how these things fit. So why would we study this? For comfort and to teach others. Now, we're talking about end times. And by the way, the Greek word for end is called eschatology. The first part of that word is eschaton. It's the Greek word for last. And logos, which is ology, logology, is the word for words. So it's the last words, or it's the words about the last things. So if somebody ever said to you, do you understand eschatology? You say, oh yeah, that's the last things. That's the study of the end times. Eschatology is last things. Now, the second thing we want to do, and I'm not going to follow along in this. You follow along if you have a question or anything, or stop me on it. The second thing we want to look at is to understand the flow of end time events. Your very last page, and I don't want you to turn there now, but the very last page of your handout is a chart. Don't look at it now. See, don't look at it now, but it's a chart, and you can use that in reference at the end, okay? Now, so what we want to do is see the flow. When you think about the flow of the end times, realize this is God's plan for the ages. And let's go back to the beginning, okay? Let's go back to the beginning. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, we see the creation of man. Genesis chapter 1 is a big overview. God said, let us create man in our image. Let's make him. And so God created man in his image. In chapter 2, you get the details, how he made the man, and then he put the man asleep and made the woman. And so you have this. You have them in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, they're in the garden. They're supposed to rule the world. Let me tell you. Understand that. You understand when Adam and Eve were created, when Adam was created and Eve to be with him, to be his helper, they were created to have dominion over what? Over the whole world. They're the king. Adam's the king of the world. Adam and Eve, her name was woman then. She didn't have a name yet. And they were the king of the world. He was. And then what happened? Man was tempted by Satan. And fell. And when he failed, he brought sin into the world and he lost his dominion. And God said, I'm going to give you a provision. There's going to be a provision made. In Genesis 3:15, he said, the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. The seed of woman is going to be a Messiah and a Savior. One is going to come as the Messiah to save mankind from his sins and to rule the world. See, because you understand something, that when man fell, the dominion of the world was given to who? Who's the prince of the power of the age? Satan. Who's the god of this age? Satan. When it says age, it's talking about this world. He is the ruler of this world. That's why we have a fallen world system controlled by an evil angel that affects us. We've been seeing that. So God has this plan. And here's this plan. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to save mankind. I'm going to deal with sin. And I'm going to restore the rule to man through the perfect man. Who is the perfect man? Who's the perfect man? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand, he started off, and who was the king of the world? Who was? Adam. He fell. Who's the king of the world now? Satan. One day when it's all over with, who's the king of the world? Jesus, the perfect man. Jesus is coming to make everything right. You remember we said the story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to die and rise again to be the Savior, and he comes to rule in righteousness and justice. The Messiah would someday come and deal with sin, conquer sin and death, and rule the entire world. You understand that? That's the plan. The plan is that, and if somebody says Jesus is never going to come as the king, there's not going to be a kingdom, they miss the whole plan. There are people that you will deal with every day that say, none of this is real, none of this is literal, there will never be a kingdom on the earth, Jesus Christ will never rule on this earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he doesn't rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the whole plan failed. You understand that? So that's why it's so important that we say, how does this work out? Is it literal? Is it true? We're going to see this morning, the book of Jonah. We're starting the book of Jonah. Did you know how many people will tell you that the book of Jonah is not even real? There wasn't a Jonah. There wasn't anybody swallowed by any kind of fish. It's just a story. No, there was a Jonah. There was a fish. That Jesus said it. That's enough if Jesus said it. But anyway, the bottom line, there are people everywhere who want to ignore these truths. So let me give you the flow. You got the flow, first of all, in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, it was told that he would be the ruler of a nation, that he would be the head of the nation, that a people group come through him, and through his people group, there would be the word of God and the Messiah. Abraham was told that through him, all the nations of the world will be blessed. The Messiah, the king, is coming through Abraham. A little bit later on, came to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, David was told that his son would sit on the throne forever as the eternal king. So I want you to understand something, that throughout history, throughout the Old Testament, God is saying, okay, Abraham, through you as the Messiah. To David, he says, David, through you as the Messiah and the king. Now, I want you to understand something. If you've never put this together, it's beautiful. Look at this. The Messiah would be both Savior and King. But to carry that out, to be Savior and King, he has to come two times to the earth. Do you understand that? To be the Savior and the King, he has to come two times to the earth. Notice, he would come one time as a Savior. He would come one time as a king. Does it make sense? Look at the next handout, or the next slide. The first time he came to die and rise and pay for sin. He came as the Savior. You recognize that? Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, came on the earth, walked on the earth for 30 years, started his ministry after three and a half years. He declared himself as the Son of God, the Savior. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They take him, they kill him, he dies, he rises again, sends back to heaven. His first coming to what? To be the Savior of the world. He's coming a second time as the ruler, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You just saw it in Revelation 19:11. The heavens open, Jesus comes. He comes as the Word of God. He comes in righteousness and justice, and he sets up a kingdom, and he rules for how long on this earth? 1,000 years. So it takes two times for him to fulfill the plan to be the Savior and the King. It takes two times. First time, he comes to be the Savior, to die and rise again. The second time, he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it's amazing. So let's see the flow. And let's start with the first coming, okay? The first coming of the Messiah and Savior. There's Old Testament prophecies. I've just put all this there for you. You can write whatever you want to write. The Old Testament prophecies in Isaiah 7:14 said that this woman would be a virgin and she would have a child. And then Isaiah 9:6 says this child would be the Son of God, that he would be God. He would be the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. And so there's a promise that this baby born is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, this Messiah would be born where? In Bethlehem. We all talk about Christmas and we old little town of Bethlehem, and we all know this. But the Messiah was going to be born in a particular city at a particular time. And so when we think about this baby being born, he is the Savior and the King. Now, on this first coming, he's coming what? What's he coming to do the first coming? To be the what? Savior. He's going to come and die and pay for sin. That's what he's going to do. Now, Isaiah 40 said there's this voice crying in the wilderness. Does anybody know what the voice was saying? What is the voice crying in the wilderness saying? Make way for the Messiah. Make way for the King. He's exactly right. It's John. Who is it? It's John the Baptist, and this was fulfilled in John the Baptist. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, it actually talks about that he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. They come and they're talking about him because he's saying, make the way, the Messiah and the King is here. He's the voice crying in the wilderness. When John was out there baptizing people, the religious leader sent people out there to him and said, are you the Messiah? And he went, no. Are you a prophet? No. Who are you? And he said, I am the voice crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 40, verse 3. They knew exactly what was going on. And so in Matthew 4, that he's the one who's pointing out Jesus. Now, let's look at this first coming. The first coming of the Messiah as Savior. And I've got on your handout there, I think, to fill in the blank. It says, the coming of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Okay, answer for me. First coming, he came to what? First coming, he came to what? To die. Second coming, he comes to reign. First coming, he comes to pay for sin. He is the Savior. The second time, he comes to rule and reign in righteousness. He is the King. Okay, you got it. We're looking at his first coming. And I want you to see how it fits. Okay, the first coming of the Messiah. There he is. Look, I think this will work. Jesus left the glories of heaven, came to the earth, was born in Bethlehem. All the prophecies, John the Baptist points him out. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John saw Jesus walking by, and he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he's coming as the Savior. Isaiah 53, he would be bruised and wounded and crushed for our iniquities. So the first coming of Jesus Christ, he came to the earth, he went to the cross, he died on the cross, he paid for sin. 3 days later, he rose again. What happened after he rose again? What happened? Okay, he walked on the earth for 40 days, and then what did he do, Bonita? He ascended into heaven. And that this is the picture of his death and resurrection and ascension. Now, what happened after that? What happened after that is the church age. It's us. After Jesus died and rose again, ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and began the church age. So let me put this up there for you. This is the church age. This is where we are right now. This is all of us. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're in what's called the church age. That's Jew and Gentile into one body. We've been talking about it. We saw it when we looked at the book of Galatians. We've talked all about it several weeks ago when we talked about the church being made up of Jews and Gentiles, being made up of a mystery from the Old Testament. But the bottom line, this is where we are now. We're in the church age. Okay, what happens after at the very end of the church age? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? The rapture. And in 1 Thessalonians, I'm not going to take the time to turn to the verses for you, but in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, Paul says, I don't want you to be unaware, but the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, thus will always be with the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds and take the church out. 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, this mortal will put on immortality. This dead body will put on, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's called the rapture. Okay, what happens after the rapture? Let me put it up there for you. There's the rapture. We're gone. Most believe that since we're the church, while we're raptured and taken off the face of the earth, we will stand before Jesus Christ. It's what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, those studies that we're going to do in the next 6 weeks called eternal rewards, this is when we stand before our Savior for our eternal rewards. We'll talk more about that and give you details on that later. But we've seen the rapture. What happens after the rapture? Here we go. And we come into this time period called the tribulation. The tribulation is probably, it lasts for 7 years. There's a man called the Antichrist who comes to power. The nation of Israel is raised up, 144,000 Jewish people, Jewish Christian. Let's say this, Jewish believers, let's put it that way, because Christian refers really to the church. The Jewish believers, 144,000, 12 from each of the 12 tribes, they begin to evangelize. People begin to believe. Antichrist comes to power. There begins to be all kind of issues. About midway through the tribulation, this Antichrist breaks a peace pact that he's made with Israel for 7 years. It's a 7-year peace pact. He claims to be God, and he puts his idol up in the temple. And this is what we see in 2 Thessalonians. It talks about him claiming to be God, putting his idol up in temple. Matthew 24:15, Jesus calls it the abomination what? Abomination desolation, which Daniel spoke about. This is the time of that aspect. Now, what happens? Okay, this is the tribulation, right? This time period. Halfway through, Antichrist claims to be God. Now, if you notice, what happens at the end of the tribulation? What is it? Okay, second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ. What's he coming this time to do? First time he came to what? To die and be the Savior. Second time he's coming to what? To reign and be the King. That's exactly it. He's coming as the King. Think about this. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so here he comes, the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming to the earth. There he comes down just like that. Got some verses for you. Here he's coming. Revelation 19:11. Heaven was open. We read those verses a while ago. He's coming. He's coming in righteousness and justice. You know, the first time he came, he actually offered himself as the King. They rejected him, so he died. The second time he comes, he's not asking anybody. He's coming as the King to rule in righteousness and justice. Guess who's coming with him? We are. Where have we been? We've been up there getting our rewards and going, yay, this is good. And then he says, I'm going back. And we say, you go. We're behind you all the way, right? Because we are behind him, because we're not fighting. Who's fighting? See, they're on the earth. The Antichrist forms a battle. They encircle Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. They're going to attack and kill everybody there. And suddenly the heavens open and the righteous judge and king comes with a sword. And he comes with a sword in his mouth and he destroys the enemies. And that's his coming. Now, what's after that? This is Matthew 24, 29 through 31. This is when he comes and he defeats the enemy and he basically sets up the kingdom, right? The millennial kingdom. Revelation 20, we just read those verses, right? What did they say? They talked about the thrones and he's setting up the throne and he rules in righteousness and justice. And by the way, here's the kingdom. 1,000 years. Why do we think it's 1,000 years? It says 6 times in 6 verses, 1,000 years. How many people do you know that say, well, it doesn't mean 1,000 years? Well, then 3 days mean 3 days? Does being on the cross mean being on the cross? To rising again, does that mean rising again? How do you determine what means what? When he says, I will rule for 1,000 years, we say that doesn't mean that. When he died and rose again, do we mean, did he do that? When he says, I paid for the sin, do we believe that? When do we say, I believe this one, but I don't believe this one? You believe it all or you believe none of it. That's what it boils down to. And the bottom line is Jesus Christ is coming as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will rule in righteousness and justice. And notice, at the end of the kingdom, there's going to be a final battle. At the end of the kingdom, Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. Satan will be released. There'll be a battle at the very end, and at the end of all of this will be what we call the great white throne judgment. It's Revelation 20, verse 11. Look at verse 11 with me. Revelation 20, verse 11. It says, I saw a great white throne. That's why we call it the what? The great white throne judgment, right? It says, I saw a great white throne, and he sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. There was no place for them. The dead and small were opened. Books were opened. Books of life were opened. Dead sea gave up its dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead. Notice verse 14. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Here's the key. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. How do you get your name in the book of life? Believe in Jesus Christ. He gives you life. He's the life giver. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will never perish but have what? Everlasting life. So he's the life giver. And so what we see in that passage right there is the great white throne judgment. And unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. And after that, we come into what? We come into what's called the eternal state or the eternal kingdom. Now, I want you to understand that. That's Revelation chapters 21 and 22. It's called the eternal kingdom. 2 Peter 1 verse 11 talks about the eternal kingdom. And Revelation 22 verse 3 says, we will serve him forever. So when we talk about going into eternity, I've had people come up to me and saying, I don't know if it'll be that much fun. I said, what are you talking about? Well, you know, when we get to spend eternity with Jesus, how much fun is it going to be just to kind of sit around? I said, who says you're going to be sitting around? Well, all the commercials I see, we're eating Snicker bars and just kind of sitting on clouds, things like that, right? Yeah, what has everybody told you you're going to be doing? What do you think you're going to be doing for eternity? You're going to be serving him. And what's the basis of your service? Your service now. The place of ministry that you will have for all eternity is based on your service for Jesus Christ now. Is that amazing? Because we're going to talk about it in the next 6 weeks. We're going to talk about eternal rewards. When you stand before Jesus, is he going to say what? Well done, good and faithful servant. And he said, I've got this for you. And so we'll serve him forever. And so this is the eternal state. And that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay, the time is up. So I want to show you this. First coming, what? To die and rise as Savior. Second coming, to rule as King of kings and Lord of lords. God's plan. Man fell. God said, I'll send the Messiah and the Savior. The plan is that the Messiah and the Savior will come one day to deal with sin, first coming, and to rule as king, second coming. So let me just show you this. remind you, Jesus Christ came to the earth. He came, he died, came the first coming to die as the King of Kings, to die as the Savior of the world. He died and rose again, sent into heaven. We're in the church age now. The next event is could happen any second. Jesus Christ could come and take us right off the face of the earth. We'll be up there. While we're off the face of the earth, there's going to be this time period called the tribulation. It's the final 7 years of the promise to the nation of Israel. Primarily, the tribulation deals with the nation of Israel. A man of sin comes to power, claims to be God, breaks the peace pact with Israel right in the middle. It's the most horrible time that's ever been on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, destroys the unbelievers, puts them into what we'd call Hades. Then sets up a kingdom that goes for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, there's a rebellion. At the end of the rebellion, there's the great white throne judgment, and everybody's name's not found written in the book of life, cast in the lake of fire, and then we go into the eternal state. So don't forget, first coming to die, second coming to reign. This is us, a mystery, Jews and Gentiles in one body. We'll be gone. We will not be in the tribulation. It has nothing to do with us. We will definitely be in the kingdom, and we'll be in the eternal state.